Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 13 lines from the top of daf Yud Ches. Before we begin the shiur, we glance at the side of the Gemara where we have a mivneh. Mivneh is a structural note where some of the geometric forms that constitute the different markings in our Gemara text are explained. You will notice a triangle is used. These are Makoros Shemechapsin Lohem Mantano. As you scan ahead in the Gemara text itself, you'll notice a couple of triangles where the Gemara will be asking who is the author, and you'll notice a dash underlining under the expression Mantana, who is the author of the following sources, the sources that will appear in the Gemara. In a couple of instances, you'll notice a bow tie highlighting Rav Chisda, Oine L'She'elois Mantana. You'll see that Rav Chisda answers these questions regarding who is the author. The nosei, the topic at hand, Mantana de Tome Shenozar, who is the Tana that holds that a person who accepted Nazirus while in a state of defilement, the topic that we've been discussing in our recent Shiurim, Shvi'i Shelo, his seventh day of purification. In other words, he was already defiled to the dead when he accepted Nazirus. He reaches a point where he starts counting days of spiritual cleanliness, meaning no contact with the dead. 7 days of cleanliness, we'll call them, seven Nikiyim. And on the seventh day, Oile Laminyan Nazirusa, that day, day seven, counts toward his new Nazirus counting, his Nazirus Bitaro. And this is all in contrast to a regular Nazir who in the midst of his Nazirus became exposed to defilement, to Tumas Mace. In a case like that, he has to observe, of course, the 7 clean days in order to purify himself from that defilement. But day 7 of the clean days is not going to count toward his restarting of the Nazirus. He has to wait till the next day. So we're looking for the Tana that makes such a distinction. Whereas a Tomei Shenozar, his seventh clean day, pure day, starts the counting of the new Nazirus. And in the case of a Nazir Tor Shenitma, not so, but rather the next day, the eighth day, would be the first day for his counting. So now the Gemara text. Mantana Hadatan Rabbonan. Who is the author of the following Tanaic source? Ein Bein Tomei Shenozar Lenozir Tohar Shenitma. There is no difference between someone who was Tomei when he accepted the Nazirus versus someone that was a regular Nazir and then became defiled. Ela Shetomei Shenozar. In the case of a person who was already defiled, that accepted in the state of defilement Nazirus, Shvi Shaloy Olulu Min Aminyan, the seventh day of the clean days counts as day 1 toward his new Nazirus period. The Nazir Tor Shinitma Ein Shvi Shaloy Olulu Min Aminyan. A Nazir who had been a Tohar, regular Nazir who became defiled and then needs to wait the 7 purification days, day 7 doesn't represent the first day toward the new Nazirus, but rather the next day, day 8. So who is the author? Omra Fisto, Rebbe He. This Tanaic source is in accordance with Rebbe. D'Omar Rebbe. Rebbe is found in a Tanaic source a little bit later. That's why we noted here above Rebbe. Come on, later on, Rebbe will tell us, Ein Nazirus Tara Cholo Elo Ad Shmini. The Nazirus of Tara, after having become defiled, the Nazir waiting his 7 clean days, his restarting of his counting from anew doesn't begin until the 8th day, namely after the 7 clean days, during which there is the sprinkling of the Pora Aduma ash water mixture on the 3rd and 7th of those days. He doesn't restart his counting until day 8. This is the opinion of Rebbe. If you were to think that the source we read would be authored by the other Tana on the topic, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Ha'omar, he has said, Nazirus detara mishvi hu dechayla. According to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, even in the case of a Nazir Shenitma, he starts his recounting on the 7th of the clean days and not waiting till the next day. So as far as Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is concerned, there is no difference between the Tomei Shenazar and the Nazir Tohar Shenitma. And now the Gemara asks, my Rebbe, my Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, after all, we've cited these opinions, where do they appear in a source? The Sanya. We have a source that quotes a posuk from Parshas Nazir, Bamidbar Perek Vav Posuk Yud Aleph. You'll notice that we've quoted the posuk on the side in full, where it reads, V'osa ha-kayin echad l'chatos v'echad li'oyla. The Kohen will process the 2 birds that the Nazir that became Tomei must bring as a sacrifice in order to atone for the defilement. So he brings one is a Chatos, an Olas Chatos Oif, and the other is an Olas Oif. V'chiper olav me'asher chotal nefesh v'kidash es roishe b'yom ahu. That's the Pasuk. Now, we read the source, Tesanya, v'kidash es roishe b'yom ahu. B'yom Havoas Karbonos of Divrei Rebbe. The Pasuk says, and he is Mekadesh Roshe B'yomahu, means he restarts the counting. When does he restart the counting? So the, according to Rebbe, it said B'yomahu, on that day, it's the day of his bringing of the sacrifices. What procedurally takes place? So the Nazir who became Tomei, he waits 7 days. And as we mentioned earlier, during those 7 days, on the 3rd and 7th day, there is a sprinkling of the Poraduma ash water mixture. And on day 8, the next day, he will bring the sacrifices. He can't bring them on day 7 because he's still in a state of defilement. Only upon the completion of the 7 days does he leave defilement, and only then can he bring the sacrifices. So the sacrifices are brought on day 8. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Omer B'yom Tiglachoso. The pasuk we just read of V'kidash Es Roshe B'yom Alu, that day, what's the day referred to in the pasuk? The day of the haircut. The haircut is on day 7. So on day 7, you will restart the Nazirus Tahara counting. Hence the source above that, and let us just point out that as far as a Tomei Shenozar, he doesn't bring Korbonus, and therefore there's no Havamina that he would wait till the next day to start the counting. He will start his counting on day 7, but according to Rebbe, the Nazir Shenitma, that was referred to in this pasuk, V'kidash Es Roshe B'yom Ahu, he starts his recounting on day 8. So you can see that the source above that made a distinction between Tomei Shenazar and Nazir Tor Shenitma is in accordance with Rebbe. We continue. V'ha Desnan, the following source, and we're going to ask who is the author of it. Nazir Shenitma Tumois Harbei, a Nazir that experienced multiple tumos. Now the term multiple tumos in the back of your mind is in contrast to, we'll say, one long tomei period. So here we're referring to a Nazir that experienced multiple tumos Eino mevi elo korban echad. Man tana. He brings only one sacrifice to cover all of the tumos that he experienced. Who is the author of this source? This requires a lengthy explanation, and that you can see is marked with a long marking. In this case, we're using Rav Chisda as the starting point. And on the marking scheme of things, we are going to see that Rav Chisda will tell us Rav Yossi Behuda is the author. You can see that we've dashed underlined his name, and a few lines later, we've dashed underlined the E Tema Rebbe He. So Rav Chisda is going to make the point that the source we just read must be in accordance with Rav Yossi Behuda. It can't be in accordance with Rebbe. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Chisda, Rebbe Yossi Behuda He. The source we just read is in accordance with Rav Yossi Behuda. The Omar, Nezirois Tahara Mishvi'i Chayla. We saw just above that a Nazir Shenitma will start his new Nazirus counting from the day, from day 7. Umishkachas lo, and the source that said what it said will come out as follows. Kegoin shenitmo b'shvi'i v'chozar v'nitmo b'shvi'i. He had waited 7 days of purification, and on day 7, again he became tomei. And this happened in a repeated fashion. The fact that he became tomei again on day 7, realize that on day 7 he would have been able to start his new Nazirus counting. So that means that on day 7 he in effect completes the purification, and then he becomes tomei again. That's a new tumah period. You'll ask, well, if it's a new tumah period, so why should he get away with bringing only one sacrifice? The Gemara continues, Kevon de lo yotza shoh ru'uya lavi korban, eino chayav elo korban echad. However, since he didn't reach the time that he could actually bring a sacrifice, because as we mentioned earlier, the sacrifice is brought on the next day, on day 8. So he didn't reach the time that's fit for bringing a sacrifice. Therefore, these multiple tumos, being that each one occurs on day 7 of the previous purification period, they can all be included in one sacrifice to atone for all of the tumah periods. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Kegon shenitma umono shisho kedei lahazois olov bishlishi ubishvii. He counted 6 days and then reached day 7 and had the sprinklings upon him. V'chozer v'nitma biyom shvii. And then he became tomei again on that day 7. The tumo achriti ikri. It's considered a separate tumo, a new tumo. Hayo v'toval boi bayom. Since he, after having the Por Adum sprinkling, he immersed himself in the mikvah on that day 7. Technically speaking, as we said before, according to Rabbi Yossi Behuda, he could have started his new Nazirus counting, but then, after coming from the mikvah, he became Tomei. Aval b'korban eino chayav elo echad, he, as far as sacrifices are concerned, is responsible to bring only one. Shekol zman shelo yotzisa shor rushiri lohavi korban. As long as he hasn't reached a time where he could have brought a sacrifice, shadayin lo yigia liyoyim shmini, he didn't reach the 8th day. Eino chayav elo korban echad. He is chayav only one sacrifice for all the tumas. Avol im nitma v'chozer v'nitma b'shishi. However, had he become tomei in a repetitive fashion on the 6th day, Eino Kore Lo, it wouldn't have been referred to as Tumos Harbe. Lefishadain Lo Chal Olof Tahara Klal. In that case, he didn't reach a state of purification at all. Vidomi Lutumo Arichto, it would be no different than just one long Tuma period. So that is the explanation as to why the source that describes on the one hand Tumos Harbe, multiple Tumos, and on the other hand only one sacrifice, this works out only according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who said that on day 7 he is considered having completed his Tumah period. He reached Tahara after the mikveh immersion on the 7th day, and when he becomes Tomei again, that's a new Tumah period. We continue in the Gemara. De'i Tamar Rebihi, if you were to think that the source above would be in accordance with Rebbe, in the Nitmo B'Shvi V'Chozer V'Nitmo B'Shvi'i, that scenario of repetitive tumas on day 7, Kulu Tumo Arichtohi, it would have been viewed by Rebbe as simply one long tumo. Why is that? Because as far as Rebbe is concerned, he wouldn't have been able to start his new Nazirus counting anyway till the next day. So that day 7 doesn't represent, we'll say, the end of a Tumah period per se. And therefore, if he becomes Tomei again, his second Tumah on day 7, it's simply one long Tumah period. And the source described Tumos Harbe. Furthermore, V'i denitma b'shmini v'chozer v'nitma b'shmini, let us say that there were multiple Tumas because on day 8, after reaching day 8, he became Tomei again. Haray, but by reaching day 8, Yotsu Shah Shuri Lovi Korban, he reached a time period where he could have brought a sacrifice. The sacrifice of the Nozir Shinitma is brought on the 8th day. So if you want to tell me Tumos Harbe is a case where he became Tomei a second Tuma on day 8, That might be defined as Tumas Harbe, but you won't get away with bringing just one korban. And therefore, the source that said he brings only one korban cannot be authored by Rebbe. The Gemara continues, "My taima de Rebbe." What is the basis for Rebbe saying that Nazirus Tara doesn't set in, doesn't begin the ability to count again until the day of bringing of the sacrifices? So Omar Kraw, the pasuk says, "V'chiper olov me'asher choto al hanefesh." That's a reference to the bringing of sacrifices. V'hodar, and then it says, "V'kide v'kidash es rosho." So that you can see this in pasuk Yud Aleph, the pasuk we read before, first v'chiper lov me'asher chotal nefesh, first the bringing of the sacrifices, and then v'kidash esro shel b'yom l'anel. On that day, he starts the new counting. For Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, his response to that, after all, he said that the restart of the Nazirus, of the new counting of the Nazirus, after having become Tomei, is on the 7th day, not the day of the bringing of the sacrifices. So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda responds to Rebbe and says, "Im kain, lemo kro v'kidash es roishoi." If, as you said, Rabbi Yosi says to Rebbe, that first you bring the sacrifices, then you restart the counting, it would have been sufficient to say v'kidash es roishoi. And Tosfos at the bottom says, "Im kein lemo kro v'kidash es rosho upshita dashmini dekaiminon bayairi." It's obvious that that's on the 8th day. That's what the pasuk is talking about. By yomahu lomali, the Gemara on Amud Beis will continue with this and ask or point out, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, He asks, Rebbe, what do you need by Yom HaHu for? Imeinu inyan lishmini tineu lishvii, da aisu lemishti ashvi. We have an extra phrase in this pasuk. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda tells us that if Rebbe's approach were correct, it would have been sufficient for the pasuk to simply end off the Kiddush Es Rosho after bringing the sacrifices, which is understandably on the eighth day, because on the seventh day he still was in a state of Tumah. Tumah does not finish until the mikveh, and as far as sacrifices are concerned, you would have to have the sunset, and you would have to reach the eighth day before you can speak about sacrifices. So the v'chiper olav section of that pasuk, the bringing of the sacrifices, is clearly the eighth day. So if the restart, which is represented by the phrase v'kidash es rosho, would have been on that very day, fine, stop over there. Why do you add in the pasuk by Yom HaHu? Let's continue now in the Gemara text at the top of Omud Beis. By Yom HaHu Lomali, Im Eino Inyan Lishmini, Teneu Inyan Lishvi. It's an extra expression, and by the strength of the oral tradition, we say that if it's not necessary to be a reference to the eighth day, because that would have been understood even without spelling out by Yom HaHu, so it seems to be unnecessary, therefore apply it to the seventh day. The Gemara asks, V'Rebbe Nami Hoksi Bayom HaHu. The argument that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda just made was very strong, so is that not a problem for Rebbe as well? What does Rebbe say about the fact that the Torah writes this seemingly extra expression? Omar Loch Rebbe, HaHu Lohochi Hu Da'asa. The Bayom HaHu has the following to teach us. Afal pi shelo hevi korbanoisov. If a nozir who had become tomei completes the 7 days of purification and then reaches the eighth day, he starts the recounting of his new nozirus even if he has not brought the necessary sacrifices that a Nazir Tomei must bring. At this point, the Gemara asks, you'll notice a long question, for Rav Chisda, Mai Dochake Lu'ukmei Kribyosi Bribyuda. What pushed Rav Chisda to set up the source that we saw on Omid Aleph, Nazir Shinit Matumos Harbe, maybe Korban Echad? What forced Rav Chisda to say that is in accordance with Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda? Lukma, why not set it up kegoin shenitma b'leil shmini v'rebihi? Imagine, the Nazir that had become Tomei observed the 7 clean days, finished them completely, sundown after the 7th day, then the nighttime, ushering in the eighth day, he became Tomei again. Now, at that point, the nighttime is not a time he could have brought a sacrifice. So, he did, on the other hand, complete the entire purification period. Why couldn't we set up that Tanaic source of Nozir Shinit Matumas Harbe using that model, becoming Tomei again a second time on the night before the eighth day? And we could then say, here, we have a source that's authored by Rebbe. There's Tumos Harbe. Each eighth night represents a new period as far as Tuma is concerned. And he may be Korban Echad because he couldn't bring he was lo yotze shoruyo lovi korban. He didn't reach a time that he could have brought a korban anyway. Now, Rav Chisda didn't do that. He didn't set it up like that. Midaloi moikim lo kerebi, from the fact that he did not set up the source like Rebbe, using the model we just suggested. Lema kosovar, should we therefore say that Rav Chisda holds certainly Rafis holds it as far as Rebbe is concerned, that Leilo Lav Mechusar Zmanhu, that the night time, the night before the following day, that nighttime period is not considered lacking in time vis-a-vis sacrifices. Now let's make one thing very clear. No one is going to say you're going to bring a sacrifice at night. But in halachic terms, the night, in a strictly halachic terms, in what we call theoretical terms, the nighttime is actually the day, the next day, as far as korbonos are concerned. Once again, not that you're going to bring the sacrifice at night, but that you've reached korbon time, sacrifice time. And therefore, we wouldn't be able to say that one sacrifice will be sufficient to cover all of the multiple tumas. So, in simple terms, this question is, according to Rav Chisda, who seemed forced to set up the source like Rav Yossi Buda, not like Rebbe, it must be, that's a function of holding that Lailo Lav Mechusar Zman, that the nighttime is not viewed as Mechusar Zman, it's not lacking time-wise vis-a-vis sacrifices, and therefore, you wouldn't have been able to, according to, let's say, this understanding of Rebbe, you wouldn't have been able to say that he'd get away with one korban, that one korban would cover multiple tumas. That is our question. Before we go further, let's take a look at the Tosfos. Lukma kirebi ukigon shnitmo b'leil shmini. The chayal alei nazirus kodem avos korbanosov. If we were to say that, we could say that he becomes tomei on the night ushering in the eighth day, and at that point, the nazirus of Tara would start. And then becoming Tomei at that point, that's a new Tumah. And that's all before the bringing of the sacrifices. Ve'lo garsino dechoza, we skip that in our Gemara text with brackets. Pirush, kevon de marbinon lerebi b'yoyim hashmini. Since we said above that the term in the pasuk b'yoyim hashmini, v'kidesh esroshe b'yoyim hashmini, or I should say, V'kidesh Esrosha Bayomahu, and we said that according to Rebbe, that we learn Afalpi Shelo Hevi Korbanoisov. So according to Rebbe, we said that the eighth day is counted as a, is considered a time that he can restart his sacrifice, his Nazirus counting, even if he didn't bring the sacrifices. Im ken gam b'leil shmini chaylolei Nazirus. We can therefore say that the night ushering in the eighth time is also a time that the new Nazirus period could start. V'shayach liyom shmini, and it's related to the eighth day. Umeata, and with that in mind, nuki l'masnisin, Kerebi, let us set up the source like Rebbe, Dinitmo Baleil Shmini, that he became Tomei, a second Tuma period on the night, ushering in the eighth day, Dekeva Dechayel Olei Nazirus, since that's a time that a new Nazirus could start, and then he becomes Tomei, Tumos Harbe, Yesh Kan, that can be viewed as multiple Tumos. Umikomokom Potir Atzim B'Korban Echod, and nevertheless, he can exempt himself with one korban. Since he hadn't reached a time, because it's still night, a time that's appropriate for bringing sacrifices. We learn from the pasuk elsewhere that says b'yom tzavoso, that you don't offer sacrifices at night. Now, midalo muki lo hachi, from the fact that Rav Chisda did not set up the source on Omid Aleph like that, like Rebbe, Neimo Kosovar, should we therefore think to conclude that Laila Lav Mechusar Zmanhu, that the nighttime is considered not lacking time-wise, Pirush V'lo Le'inyin Shiyuchol Akriva B'layla, not that we're going to suggest you actually could bring sacrifices at night. Rather, the nighttime is viewed halachically as a time that's fit for bringing sacrifices. And As such, v'lo yiftar b'korban tumo echad. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to exempt yourself from multiple tumas with one korban. So the Gemara says in response, Omar Rav Ado Barava Ha the Ha Talia. In order to appreciate what the Gemara is doing right now, we have marked, first of all, a long answer marking, a long response. We look at Rashi. Omar Rav Ado Barava. Afilu I Islay L'Rav Chista D'Layla M'chusur Zman Hu. Even if Rav Chista would be of the opinion that the nighttime is M'chusur Zman, is considered, we'll say, premature, Akati lo mesukmo le karebi. You still could not set up the source like Rebbe. Up till now, we were thinking that the reason Rav Chista could not set up the source like Rebbe is because Laila lav mechusar zman. Rav Ado comes to tell us that even if you hold Laila mechusar zman, you still could not set up the source like Rebbe. Deha beha talya. One thing is dependent on the other. That is now what the Gemara will explain. So let's continue in the Gemara. E amris laila mechusar zman. If you say that the nighttime is lacking vis-a-vis sacrifices, emas mechsi lekorban. When would he be fit to? When is the time fit for sacrifices? Litzafra, in the morning. Well, nazirus nami lo chaylo atzafra. So the new nazirus isn't going to start till the morning. Therefore, if he would become tomei the night before, the night of the eighth day, that would represent simply a continuation of the previous tumah period, be one long tumah. We wouldn't be able to term it tumos harbe. Ve'i amris laila eino mechusar zman. And if you're going to say that the nighttime is not considered lacking time-wise, and it's a time fit for sacrifices, nazirus taro chaylo meyurta, the nazirus counting, the new nazirus counting, would start from the night. And therefore, tuma that sets in at that time would be considered a tumah that sets in at that point would be considered the basis of being mechayev, of obligating a new korban, a new set of korbanos. So therefore, if you were going to say laila eino mechusar zman, you wouldn't be able to say that the tumah that he experiences, the repetitive tumah on that night, would be such that he could get away with one sacrifice to cover all the tumas. Since the Nazir's Tara would be beginning at that point, and he would become Tomei as well at that point, he would have to bring a separate sacrifice for each tumah period. And therefore, the source that said he's Yotze with one korban would not be accurate. Therefore, Rav Chista had to set up the source like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, as we explained earlier. We continue with a Tanaic source, in which you'll see several different opinions regarding the bringing of sacrifices and the restarting of the Nazirus of Tahara. Tanu Rabbanan, Nitmo Bishvi, Mechazer V'Nitmo Bishvi, Nazir who became Tomei and observed the seven clean days, and became Tomei again on the seventh day of the clean days. Eino mevi ela korban echad. Nitma, that means he brings only one sacrifice. Nitma b'shmini v'chazer v'nitma b'shmini mevi korban al kol echad v'echad. If he reached the eighth day and then became Tomei and waited again seven clean days, and reached the eighth day and became Tomei, he'll have to bring a separate set of sacrifices for each Tumah period. Maschil u'moine miyad, divrei Rebbe. The Vilna Goyim is Gores Rebbe and not Rebbe Eliezer. Be that as it may, we'll call this the first opinion. It says that he starts counting the Nazirus Tara immediately, even if he didn't bring the sacrifices, so that he, as we saw, we discussed a little earlier, he reaches the eighth day, and even if he didn't bring the sacrifices, he nevertheless can start the counting toward his new Nazirus. That will count as day one, even without having brought any sacrifices. The Chachomim Omrim Korban Echod Al Hakol Ad Shiyovi Chatoso. The Chachomim here hold that the new Nazirus period does not start until he brings the Korban Chatos. With that having been said, it would appear then, the Chachomim hold, that you might have even reached the eighth day, and if you didn't bring the Korban Chatos, and you became Tomei again on the eighth day, and that repeated itself again and again and again, you would end up bringing one sacrifice at the end, because you hadn't brought the Korban Chatos. Hevi Chatos of Enitma, the Hevi Chatos of Enitma, if the Nozir that became Tomei after observing seven clean days reached the eighth day, brought the Korban Chatos, brought the sin offering that he's required to bring, and then became Tomei, and then observed another seven clean days, reached the eighth day, brought a Korban Chatos and became Tomei. Each time a new set of Korbonos will be required. Maybe Korban al kol echod v'echod. Hevi chatoso v'lo hevi ashamo mone. If he brought his sin offering, even if he did not bring the Korban osham, the guilt offering, he starts counting his new Nazirus. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oishu, Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, Keshem shechatoso ikvosoi, kach ashamo ma'akvoi. As far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, just like the chatos binding, is restrictive vis-a-vis the ability to start counting the new Nazirus period, Rabbi Shmuel holds the osham as well. In other words, if you didn't bring the Osham in it as well as the Chatos, you can't start the new Nazirus counting. Bishlamo LeRebbe Omar Kro. We can understand the position taken by Rebbe. The Pasuk said, V'kidash es Roishoi Bayom Hahu. And the Pasuk, as we saw earlier, Shitas Rebbe, we saw this and we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We learned, Afapi shelo hevi korbanos, of this we had above, that the extra expression of Bayom Hahu meant, as far as Rebbe was concerned, were including the possibility of counting the new Nazirus, even if you didn't bring the sacrifices. Of course, Shitas Rebbe had been that you have to wait till day 8 to start the new counting. That having been achieved, you can start the new Nazirus counting even without having brought any of the required sacrifices. Rabbonon, Hahu, the Pasuk of Hahu, Bayom Hahu, that teaches the Rabbonon, Afapi Shelo Hevi Ashamo. So the extra expression Bayom Hahu that we addressed earlier, the Rabbonon learned from that, that you can start your new Nazirus counting even if you didn't bring the required Korban Osham. Ella Rebbe Yishmuel, who said that not only do you have to reach the eighth day, but you have to bring the Chatos and Osham before you can start the new counting, Hahu Lomali, what does the word Hahu in the Pasuk teach me? Omar loch hahu afopishalo hevi oilosai. In addition to the chatos and osham sacrifices that a nazir tomei must bring, there is a third sacrifice he brings. It's an oila, korban oila. And Rabbi Shmuel benoi shor Rabbi Yochanan Broka says that even though I require, before counting the new nazirus, chatos and osham, you can start the recounting if you didn't bring, even if you didn't bring the oila. V'rabbanan, oila lo boi miuta. The rabbanan who disagreed, who were choylik on Rabbi Shmuel, they don't need the hahu pasuk to tell me this. We'll call this oila leniency. You don't need an exclusion for to exclude the oila as being a dover ma'akev. Doirin bi alma hu. The oila is viewed as, we'll call, a mere gift. That's a literal translation, but it's not an atonement-oriented sacrifice. Therefore, it doesn't have the, we'll call it the restrictive force that the chatos and osham, which are atonement-type sacrifices, that they have. My tamayu de rabbonon, what is the basis of the rabbonon that say that the osham is not me'akev? We saw Rabbi Shmuel holding that the osham, the guilt offering, is ma'akev, restricts the recounting of the nazirus of Tara. What is the basis of the rabbonon that said that the osham is not ma'akev? Desanya. We have a Tanaic source that you can see continues till the third line from the top of Yud Tes Amud Aleph. The pasuk that we're citing is from Bamidbar Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Beis. Vehezir Lashem es Yemei Nizroi Vehevi Keves Ben Shnosoi Li Osham Ma Talmud Lomar. It would seem to me that what is bothering the Tana in his question, Ma Talmud, what is this teaching me, is as follows. If the pasuk was simply here to teach me the requirement of bringing the osham guilt offering, it could have simply said Vehevi Keves Ben Shnoso Li Osham. What is the opening of this pasuk revealing to us? It says Vehezir Lashem Es Yemei Nizro. So this is what needs clarification, and from this we'll discover the basis of the Rabbonan. L'fishimotzinu Shekol Hashomos Shebetura Shein Me'akvin. We find wherever an osham sacrifice is required, it is a binding factor. Rashi quotes at the bottom, "Kol hashamash b'torah ma'akvin kidamrinon hevi kaporoso ochel b'kotshim." That when you bring your atonement sacrifices, then someone who was, let us say, tomei, can then start eating korbonos. Prior to bringing the sacrifices, a person who had been tomei, who had been defiled, cannot eat from sacrificial meat. So we find that the bringing of the korban osham, when necessary, is a restrictive or binding requirement. So since there is such a precedent with regard to the guilt offering, the korban osham, yochel av ze me'akvo, could it be that the osham that a nazir tomei has to bring is also a restrictive factor in allowing him to restart the Nazirus Tara counting? Talmud Lomar. Oh, so here we look at the order of things in this pasuk. Vehezir, Vehevi. Here the quote is terse, but it's a reference to the pasuk we just cited. It begins by saying Vehezir, means he'll start counting Vehezir Lashem Es Yemei Nizro. He starts his Nazirus counting, and then he brings the sacrifice. And this teaches us, Afapi Shalohevi, he's here, that even if he didn't bring it, that the Korban Oshem, nevertheless, he's here means he starts the Nazirus counting. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Oimer, Vehezir Vehevi. How does he learn the Pasuk? Amosai Hezir. When can he start the counting? Bizman Shevi, when he had already brought the Korban Hashem. So as far as Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Rukah is concerned, he sees in this very pasuk that the Hashem itself is a restrictive or binding factor, and he cannot start his new Nazirus until he brings not only the Chatos, but the Hashem as well. As we continue, you notice the markings that we started at the beginning of today's shiur, the attempt to discover authorship of Tanaic sources and Rav Chisto's response, so hence the Man Tana is dashed underlined, and the triangle introducing the Tanaic source in this case, followed with Rav Chisto's response. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Lahasbir Hadiktoni. We're here to explain the source that says Isha Shenodra bin Nazir v'nitma'a, a woman that accepted upon herself Nazirus, became defiled, v'achar kach hefilo baila, and then her husband came and annulled her vow, her Nazirus vow. Mevia chatas ha'of, v'eina mevia oilas ha'of. The source tells us that she brings the sin offering, the bird sin offering, but does not bring the bird ola offering. So, who authors such an idea? Now the Gemara. Man tana laha detana rabbanan. Who would teach the following? Isha shenodra benazir, a woman who accepted the Nazirus vow, v'nitma, and became defiled, v'achar kach efer lo baila, and then her husband annulled her vow. This is a power that a husband has with regard to a wife's vows, the power of hafora, to annul them. This woman is mevia chatos ha'of, v'eino mevia oilas ha'of. She brings a chatos ha'of, the sin offering, the bird sin offering, but doesn't need to bring an ola, bird offering. Who's the author? Omar Rav Chisto, Rabbi Yishmael, he. This would be in accordance with Rabbi Yishmael. We are, of course, referring to Rabbi Yishmael ben Yosher of Yochanan ben Broka, and Rashi explains Omar Rav Chisto. We're looking at Rashi on the second narrow line. Rabbi Yishmael, he. Delididei, according to Rabbi Shmuel, choshiv le oilas ha'oif. The oilas ha'oif has significance insofar as, if you recall, he used the pasuk of hahu, bayom hahu, to tell us that the Nazirus Tara can be restarted even if a person didn't bring the oilas ha'oif. So the oilas ha'oif has, we'll call, significance to the extent that you need a scriptural reference to say that it's not binding. Now that's Rabbi Shmuel's approach. Now that's in contrast, Rashi continues, De'i l'Rabbanan, if we were to think that this source were in accordance with the Rabbanan, lo it's the richole lemisni she'eno mevia oilas ha'of, I wouldn't need a Tanaic source to tell me that she's exempt from bringing the oilas ha'of, the ha'amrina oilas ha'of, lo makfa. According to the Rabbanan, we've already learned this, that the oilas ha'of is not binding, the lo asya lo mishum doron, because of the fact that it comes as a mere gift, as mishum doron bi'alma. It's a mere gift, so to speak. That's a literal translation, but for our purposes, it's sufficient. It's a mere gift. You don't, according to the Rabbanan, you don't even need a gezeiras hakosav, a scriptural reference to convey the idea that it's not ma'akev. That would have been something we could have understood simply on our own. Upshita she'eino tzricha lavin, it would be obvious that a woman whose nazir vow was annulled would not have to bring the olas ha'of. So therefore the source, and we have a Tanaic source that tells me that spells out her olas ha'of exemption, the only one who would go out of his way, let's say, to formulate a Tanaic source to communicate that idea would be Rabbi Yishmael ben Yosher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The Gemara asks, my kosovar. The Gemara now is going to touch on a topic that will be discussed extensively later in our perek, in another couple of dapim. And it has to do with the power of a husband's annulment vis-a-vis her, the wife's, vow. Does the husband, when he annuls a vow, does he uproot it from its very source, its very origin, or is it an annulment from the point of his annulment onwards? But an original vow is said to still have been there. Now, that might sound like a somewhat theoretical analysis, but we'll appreciate it more as we go on in the Gemara. What does he hold? If he is of the opinion that a husband uproots the vows from its very root, from its very origin, well then, it's as if there was no vow to begin with, and she was never a nozir. If she was never a nozir, there's no problem with her ever becoming defiled. Chatosoif nami lolai. See, she shouldn't have to bring the bird sin offering either. And e kosover baal megis gayis. And if you were to suggest that a husband simply cuts off the vow from the point of annulment onwards, but prior to that there was a vow, there was a nazirus, and you have a woman that had become tomei, she had become tomeo before the husband's annulment, oilasof nami laisi, let her bring the oilasof as well. Why the split? The oilam kosover baal meaku okar, in general, he holds that a husband, in fact, does uproot the vow from its very source. The question then is, why is there a need for a sin offering at all? For Rabbi Shmuel Soverlok Rabbi Lozer HaKapor, and Rabbi Shmuel Benoishu Rabbi Yochum Broko holds like another Tana on this topic of sinfulness, Desanya Rabbi Lozer HaKapor Bribi Yoimer. Ma Tamed Lomar V'chiper Olov Me'asher Choto Al Hanefesh. The Pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Aleph says that sacrifice is brought to atone for the soul. It sounds like there was some type of act of sinfulness. V'chibeze nefesh chotazeh. What sin violated here in the case of a nazir, from where this pasuk is coming. Bamidbar Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Aleph speaks about the nazir and the necessity of his bringing a sin offering. What sin did he do? Elo shetzir atzmo min hayayin. There is a sin. His sin was that by accepting nazirus, you are restricting yourself from something that the Almighty otherwise permitted. You restricted yourself from wine. And that's called a sin? God didn't ask you, didn't insist, doesn't command you to restrict yourself from wine. You went ahead and did so. Mind you, here's someone that restricted himself only from wine. He's still allowed to eat steak, he can eat ice cream, he can eat all kinds of other foods, fresh salads, soybean concoctions. Only wine is what's prohibited, restricted to him, and he's called a sinner. Hametzayer atzmoi mikol dover alachas kama v'kama. You can imagine then someone who fasts, who restricts himself from all things, all the more so he will be considered a sinner. Let us glance at a Tosfos in the lower part of the page. Hametzayer atzmo mikol dover alachas kama v'kama, alma chotehu. Therefore, this is considered a sin. This self-imposed restrictions on things that the Torah and that the Almighty allow you to partake of. V'kach meisi chatas ha'oif. And therefore, this offering is brought. Let us return to the Gemara text. The Gemara asks, "V'ha benozir tomei ksiv, v'anan afilu nozir Torah klamrinon." The pasuk that Rabbi Lozer HaKapor Bribi cites, "V'chiper lov me'asher chotal nefesh," is speaking about a nozir that defiled himself, that became defiled, and that's of course a sin. So, is it not so then that from the Pusik standpoint, it's the defilement that is the sin. And we are suggesting that the sin was restricting oneself from the wine. Where do you see a korban chatos? Where do you see a sin offering brought for wine restriction? As far as the Pusik is concerned, the sin offering is brought because of defilement. The Gemara answers, Kosov Reb Elozer HaKapor, Nozir Tohor Nami Chotehu. Reb Elozer HaKapor is of the opinion that a Nozir that remained Tohor is also a sinner. V'hainu Taimo Dechsib B'Nozir Tomei. The reason that the Torah speaks about or writes about the Chatos offering in the case of the Nozir Tomei, it's because he did a double sin. In other words, the fact that the Pusuk speaks about the need for atonement in the context of a Nozir that became Tomei is not to the exclusion of sinfulness on the part of a Nozir Tohar. A Nozir Tohar is also considered a sinner. The fact that the Torah writes the need for atonement in this context of the Nozir Shenitma, that's because you're dealing with a double sin. Let's take a look at the Tosfos in the widest lines. V'hainu taima d'chsif kro b'nozir tomei ho'el l'shona b'chein shelo nizar mitumo. He didn't care. He didn't take care to avoid the defilement. V'herich tsar al tsarum l'nes b'yayin. As a result of that, he has to observe not only 7 days of purification, but he also has to observe another entire Nazirus period. So he's lengthening the tsar, the restriction on the restriction imposed on himself, the restriction from wine. So that the Shona V'chein has this this double or multiple sin aspect to it. Not only is there the initial restriction from wine, there's also the problem of his not having been careful vis-a-vis defilement, and there's also the problem of having extended the tsar of wine restriction. But as we said, the main point is, this is not to the exclusion of the sinful aspect of self-imposed restriction from the outset, which applies even in the case of a Nozir Tohar. So the woman that the husband uprooted the vow from the very beginning, and in our mind's eye, therefore, the woman was not a Nazir at all, in halachic terms. However, the woman did experience a period of time that, physically speaking, she had restricted herself from wine. And that alone is, according to Reb Elozer HaKapor and Rabbi Shmuel Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Baruch buys into this. He subscribes to this analysis. That itself represents an act or a sinful type of behavior. And therefore, even though the vow was totally annulled from the very outset, there still remains a need for some form of atonement. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.